In the gospel reading today, we hear our Lord asking St. Martha if she believes in the promises of the Lord. That is, in this particular case, not only that her brother is going to rise, but that Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. And each one of us needs to ask that simple question, do I believe that? Do I honestly believe that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is who he says that he is? It becomes a very important question because it's easy when we can just keep it at an arm's distance and say, oh yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, he's the second person of the Trinity. But when we look at it from this other perspective, that has to come from the inside. Do I really believe this? In other words, am I going to now conform my life to the truth that I believe? Because if he is who he says he is, then this is how I need to live my life. Which then brings us to the other point, that if we're going to say that we believe that, and I hope every one of us can certainly say that, then now we need to ask the next question. Do you believe that you are to be the Lord's renown, his praise, his beauty? You, not somebody else, you. Yes, it was the Jewish people who were supposed to be that. And now God has called you and me to have that closeness to him. Do you really believe that? Are you living in such a way that you are the renown, the praise, the beauty of God? You know that you're made in the image and likeness of God. You know that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But see, again, we keep that stuff at an arm's distance. We don't let it in. It's just objective truth. But to say, I am called to be the renown of God, the praise of God, the beauty of God. In other words, to show to the world what it actually means to be the image and likeness of God. Not just, well, yeah, I know that that's what it says right on the first page of the Bible, but to be able to let it in and to say, this is who I am. This is who I was created to be. That makes us a little nervous. Because now it's no longer just an objective truth, now it's a subjective one. Now it's one that actually has to change us. But that's what God is calling us to be. Because otherwise, he's going to say to us, look, I have called you to cling to me. Are we doing that? I have called you to be my renown, my praise, and my beauty. But then is he going to say to us what he said about Israel? But you would not listen. God is calling you to this intimate relationship with himself. And we don't respond. Remember, Jesus talked about that in one of his parables. The king had a wedding feast for his son, and he invited all these people, and they all had their excuses. Oh, I got to go check out the field. I have to go check the livestock. I got this, I got that. Nobody showed up. The difference in this is that you are the bride of the Son, It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female in this case, because it's not about that aspect of marriage. Each one of us is called to this intimate relationship with the Lord. And how many excuses we have for not showing up at our own wedding. We haven't just been invited, we're supposed to be the ones that put out the invitations. And we're the ones making all the excuses for why we don't need to be there. Now put that right back into a marriage on the natural level. What would you say about a bride who doesn't want to show up at her own wedding? She must not love this guy very much. She's trying to do everything she can do to get out of it. She doesn't want to be in this. So what's God going to say to people who keep coming up with excuses for why they don't want to show up at their own wedding? To his son. We must not really love him. Must not really want to do this. That's the part we have to look at. Jesus is who he says that he is. We all have that in our heads. That's not the problem. What's in the heart? That's where there's a problem. Because if we don't have that kind of love for the Lord, he's calling us. He's made it very, very clear. This is what he wants. If we just simply said, oh, here's what I want, well, yeah, we could look at it and say, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? I want this kind of relationship with God. I think that I should be so intimately united with God, so close to God, that's what I want. Now, this is God saying this about you and me. This is what I want for you. Well, then there's no arrogance in it on our part. Well, there shouldn't be anyway. But that's exactly the problem that we see. I will allow the pride of Judah to rot and the great pride of Jerusalem. They got proud, as though somehow it's something that they did. Again, as I always like to say, go home and look in the mirror. Are you going to look at yourself and say, well, of course God wants to be intimately close with me. Who else could he want to be that close to? I mean, there's just nobody better, right? Come on. The fact that we've been chosen by God, we have to remember what St. Paul told us. He chooses the weak, the broken, the messed up, the ones who are nothing. That's us. We have nothing to be proud of. He didn't call us to this intimacy because we're the best, because we're the greatest, because there was nobody better. He called us because there's no one worse. Because we should know that we have to be dependent on him, because we cannot be dependent on ourselves. We've proven that to ourselves thousands of times by now. And yet we keep trying to do it. For some reason, we don't want to be dependent on him because we think we can depend on ourselves. The pride is in the way. The pride that does not allow us to draw near to God, who has called us and invited us to be his renown, his praise, and his beauty. That is you. Now again, we could become arrogant about that. Well, I'm the renown, the praise, and the beauty of God. Once again, go and look in the mirror. This isn't something you did yourself. It's not because he couldn't find anybody more beautiful than you, if we look at it on the natural level. It's because he wants his beauty to shine through you. He wants his renown to be radiating through you. He wants his praise to be coming through you. That's what he's calling each and every one of us to. What a privilege. What a blessing. Nothing to be proud of or arrogant about, because we can't. It's his invitation. Remember, the people who were invited didn't show up, so then he sent out the invitations of the people that were living in the gutters. That's us. Can't be proud about this. But we need to recognize the privilege, the gift, and now ask ourselves, are we willing to show up? Are we willing to accept the invitation? Again, if it was just showing up to the wedding, yeah, that'd be easy enough. We're going to show up, we're going to go home. You're the bride. Showing up at the wedding has a much, much greater importance, obviously. It's going to change your life forever. That's what God is asking of us. Are we willing to say yes to that? Or are we going to hear him say, but they did not listen? So he's coming to each one of us, telling us he's the resurrection and the life, telling us that he's called us to union with him for eternity, but he's calling us to union with him now in preparation for eternity. As I often like to say, why would you want to spend eternity with God if you don't want to spend any time with God? Why would you want to be in heaven when he is offering heaven to you if we're not willing to accept that? If our soul becomes the very dwelling place of God, which is heaven, he wants to be there, and he wants to be united with us there. And if we don't want that, why would we say we want to be with him for eternity? Why would we care if he's the resurrection and the life? Because we don't want it, because we don't want him. Do we really want to say that? So let's look a little deeper. It's not just an objective truth that he's the resurrection and the life. It is a subjective truth, and at this point, a subjective invitation to each one of us to enter into the depth of our soul and be united with him to be his renown, his praise, and his beauty.